So we start off with Jeremiah 29:11.
Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29:11.
Praise the Lord. Two more verses. The next is Joshua 1:9.
Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9.
Good. And last is part of a verse. It's Ephesians 1:7-8.
Ephesians 1:7-8. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. Ephesians 1:7-8.
Good job, man.
Praise the Lord. Amen. It's okay. Some kids just have stage fright. We'll work that out of them. We'll work that out of them. Praise the Lord. I'll try to be short. I see the time is well spent. But I want to hand you all out something. We're going to have a little activity today. Wesley, seeing that you're a nice young man, would you pass this out, please? I think Wesley's going to bypass his father in height. He has, oh boy. So dad now have to look up to him. That's why it says in James, don't let them look down on you when you're young. hallelujah. We did some of this Wednesday, but I couldn't. I said Wednesday I wasn't going to do this Sunday, and Ed says, that's what you think. Or something to that effect. Yes, Joan? Hallelujah. Well, just pretend that's the picture. Praise the Lord. But all birthdays and address is correct? Listen, I do the best I can. And you gotta love me anyway. When I realized it was our kid's birthday that was missing, I was relieved. All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you. You got one? All right. What mountain are you facing in your life? Is there any mountains in your life that you're facing right now? What is a mountain? A mountain is something that is difficult, or maybe something you're asking God and pleading to God about. Because the scripture said, if you will say to this mountain, be rooted up and cast in the sea, and you do it with faith, not doubting in your heart, God can do it. I want you to take the paper. And I want you to write on it. I'm not going to look at it. I don't need to even see it. I want you to write on that mountain what it is. I want you to write on that mountain what it is. Whatever that mountain is, I want you to put it down on that mountain. If you don't have a pen, nudge your neighbor, they may have one. And I think there's two right here. And there's some back there. There's Leah need a pen. Victor don't need one. It doesn't seem that way. Yeah, Victor needs a pen. Okay. Mark chapter 11, verse 12. Mark chapter 11 and verse 12. On the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing in a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if he could find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. Verse 20. As they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed is withered." And Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespass." On the following day, when they came to Bethany, he was hungry. The first thing I want to tell you about this scripture is Jesus was in flesh. He was hungry. He can identify with whatever you are going through, even though he did not sin. Do you know that? He can identify with anything. It doesn't matter what it is. Sometimes we feel like Jesus don't understand the trouble I see. Mahala Jackson says, Jesus does. And seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, and it was not the season for figs. I remember, I think it was about 3 or 4 Sundays ago, we decided we were going out to eat, and I really like the Texas Steakhouse on Houston Road. I like it because at lunchtime on Sunday, it's not packed. Every time I go there for lunch on Sundays, I go right in and sit down. Not only that, their food is good. So we decided we were going to go there to eat, and we drove from here all the way down there. Get out our car, walk up to the door, and it was closed. I was so disappointed. Then we went somewhere else. We have good intention. We were expecting to eat some good food at the Texas Steakhouse. But I didn't curse the place. And he said, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. Guys, let me tell you one thing. Your words are powerful. Your words are powerful. Listen, Jesus didn't say he did not say, Father, would you curse this tree, please? He didn't point his finger and say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to be cursed. You know, he didn't do it. You know what he did? He said, may nobody eat from you again. You know, I'm a little emotional. I like to scream a little bit. I like to shout a little bit. I like to jump a little bit. But in my opinion, there was no emotions. He just said, nobody is going to eat from you again. And guess what? He was God. And when he speaks, things happen. Guess what? You are God's child. And you have God living in you. You have Holy Spirit living in you. You better be careful what you're saying. I believe today that some marriages don't make it because the husband is cursing the wife and the wife is cursing the husband. I believe some children turn out just as their parents curse them to turn out. I believe some businesses fail because the business owner doesn't know how to speak life. We as believers, we need to learn how to speak life. There's a scripture I wrote down here. Where are you? James, Proverbs. Proverbs verse 18 and verse 21. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I think sometimes we are living today what we spoke about ourselves yesterday. But these are some sightings we go in. And then he said, and we go down to verse 20. As they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, Rabbi, look. Peter remembered what God said. And Peter saw the results of what God said. And he said, the fig tree that you cursed is withered. Have you ever believed God for something, then you're kind of surprised that it came to pass? It was kind of the same situation. Peter should have known God said it. That's it. It really shouldn't have surprised him at all that the tree was withered. He should have been able to just walk by that tree and keep going his merry way, because he knew what Jesus says will come to pass. But I praise God that he did, because we got a lesson from it. And Jesus said this, have faith. Have faith. Spitwiddle's work put it best. It says, only believe. Have faith. You know what it says in Hebrews? Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whosoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. We cannot serve God without faith. We cannot see things come to pass without having faith that God is a rewarder of those who seek him. Only believe. You know what? I want you to pick up that paper and look and see what you put on there. Look at it. Look at your mountain. Take your paper and look at your mountain. Look at your mountain. Look at it. He says, and this is what God is saying to you, only believe. Only believe. First thing Jesus checked them out with, look, this thing requires faith. He addressed the first problem that they had, and their problem was faith. And he says, only believe. Now, I know we could preach many sermons. The guy, the centurion, had a problem with his servant. He go to Jesus. You know what Jesus says? I have not seen such faith. The woman went to touch the hem of Jesus' garment, and the first thing Jesus said is, I have not seen such great faith. Out of those that should have the faith. And then Jesus says this, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that what he say will come to pass, it will be done for him. That mountain can be done for you if you have faith and do not doubt in your heart. Here's what the next book I want to go through is the book of James. But here's something from James, chapter 1 and verse 6. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. You know, a few years ago, God dealt with me with that scripture, being double-minded. And it really helped me, because one of the things I try hard not to do is say I'm going to do something and go back and change my mind. But what the scripture is saying here, if you ask God for this, and then you believe he can't do it, and then you believe he could do it, and then God can do it, and then when the hardship comes, God can't do this. And then when you feel a little better, God can do it. Guess what? You're not getting anything. Because you're not stable in your faith. And we need to be stable in our faith. One of the things God is dealing with me is having faith. Somewhere along the line of my believing in God, I have lost the faith that don't waver. I told you all this before, but I'll go say it again. When I was talking to someone on the phone, a guy in New York, he in college, he lived at the same floor. In fact, I spent, I think, 2 summers at his house on a Christmas. I interned at his church when I had to do my internship. And I was talking to him, and I can't remember what was going on in my life. And his words to me, he said, but I remember you. You are a guy of faith. I remember you would pray and believe God financially, and your financial need was met like that. And I hung up the phone and I said, where have I stopped believing? What made me to stop having faith? And that is when I started to pray again. And boy, did I see God come through. You have to believe that God can do it unless he tells you otherwise. One of the scriptures that we don't use is ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. I was with a friend yesterday driving around showing them some homes. And after we leave the last home, I just had to say to them, I said, are you all praying and asking God? Are you seeking God and believing God that God will give you the right house? And it not only just the right house, but it would be in your budget. Because if you start praying and believing, you wouldn't believe. You may be in the grocery store and hear somebody says, I want to put my house on the market because I'm getting deployed and I don't want to make a profit. I just want somebody who will buy it for just what I owe on it. I said, God can do that. But are you all praying and asking and believing God? Because God knows your circumstance. God knows you have to move. God knows you need a house. But are you praying and believing for God to come through for you? And does not doubt in his heart, but believe that whatever he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Folks, I'm telling you, whatever that mountain you put on that paper, God can move it. And he can cast it in the sea. You just speak to it. You don't have to work up no kind of prayer. Now I tell you, I'm a little bit charismatic. I wish when we have prayer meeting, we all in here, all the men in here, and we walking around the room shouting and breaking down walls. And I wish we don't do that. We sit down and we pray. But you know, God, Jesus didn't do that. All he said was, nobody else going to eat from you. All you have to say is, mountain, be rooted up and be cast in the sea. And walk away knowing that God has heard you. And do not doubt in your heart that God has done it for you. And then he said this one thing. Last week, we talked about anger. And we talked about how anger does not produce the righteousness of God. I was in a truck before the last point, little recaption from last week. I was in a truck and I'm driving with Samuel. And I was saying to Samuel, I said, Samuel, you get angry too easy. And I was saying, you shouldn't say stuff like, and I was repeating some of the things he says to people when he's angry. And he says to me, well, they said things to me. And the way he said it was, says, now because they said things to me, gives me the right now to come back with anger, with things to hurt them because they hurt me. And the next thing I said was, you are responsible for your response. It doesn't matter what people do to you. Because you say you believe in God, you have to change. Because you say you're a Christian, you got baptized. Now you want to be an example to everybody else. So when they do something to hurt you, you don't respond in anger because anger does not produce the righteousness of God. And because they hurt you doesn't give you the right to hurt them. You still have to respond according to what God would have you to respond. And that is not in anger. That is not in words to hurt. And I said to him, no, he has this this girl that he like. And I said, sometimes you need to laugh. I said the other day, I call her Bucky. She does not have a buck teeth. But I call her Bucky and I say, every time you all try to kiss, I hear clunk, clunk, clunk. And he already started to get upset again in the truck. I said, you have to learn when we are not doing things to hurt you. We are just having fun. Laugh. Say, I love her buck teeth. But the point of the question is, she don't have buck teeth at all. So why be angry? So I was trying to teach him that the anger that is produced in you never, ever bring about the purpose and the will of God. It bring about unrighteousness. So we dealt with anger. And if you wasn't here, I will encourage you when Shannon loads it up to Facebook to listen to it. The other thing I want to deal with, and we deal with it little, is that this, he said, therefore, now, when you see therefore, you need to see what it's there for. Okay? It's therefore because of what he has already told him. He said, therefore, I tell you, verse 24, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, forgive. For if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespass. I truly believe there is a link in unanswered prayer and unforgiveness. This comes right after he says, believe God. Now, I said this, I don't know how to say it. Somebody could probably say it better. But if you hold unforgiveness in your heart, you're not going to see God. If you're not going to see God, you're not a child of God. Now, I have a little different belief than most people. A lot of people believe once saved, always saved. I don't believe that. I don't care what you could try to convince me, and this is not about an argument. If you believe that, good for you. Live righteously anyway. Because I believe God don't make puppets, period. God wants us to have free will. And if you are holding unforgiveness in your heart, you are pretty much not a child of God, because sin cannot stand before God. And Jesus said this. He didn't say it about any other sin. Now, sin separates you from God. But there is some sin that does not lead to death. But you see this unforgiveness sin? It leads to death. So if you have a mountain in your life that you want to be removed, this morning is a good time to examine your life and see if you have any kind of unforgiveness in your heart, and then take action. Take action and forgive. Folks, I understand forgiving is hard. I really do. Because when you're hurt by somebody you really love, when you're hurt by your husband, or you're hurt by your wife, or you're hurt by your parents, or you're hurt by your children, or you're hurt by your best friend, or you're hurt by your fiance, or you're hurt by any close relationship you have, it usually becomes a very deep hurt. And because of that, we can carry that hurt for a very, very long time. And we have to be able to realize what God has done for us on the cross doesn't compare to what they have done to you. What God suffered for us does not compare with anything we go through. The scripture says that we have not suffered to the point of death. That's what the scripture says. So today, if you have any unforgiveness in your heart, Today's the day to let it go. Today's the day to give it to God. Because unforgiveness leads to your unforgiveness. Lead to your prayers not being answered. Here's the note. There's other things to unanswered prayer. And let me give you one from James. James chapter 4, verse 1. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not that that your passions are at war within you? Now, if you have passions, and those are just, that's all you're praying about, they may not get answered. Because your passions may not match up with the will of God. And here's why. You desire and you do not have, so you murder. What is murder? You think, now, how many Christians you know today? Right here, how many of you have taken a knife and slit somebody's throat? Kill them. How many of you? Nobody. How many of you poison somebody's food? Nobody. How many killed anybody? All right, nobody. Praise God. Jesus said this, and this is what unforgiveness does. If you have hate in your heart towards a brother or sister in Christ, even an ungodly person, you are a murderer. It's the same thing as putting a knife to their throat. It's the same thing as putting a gun to their head. Because you have hate in your heart. So what the Bible is telling us is, these things, God wants to take that mountain when you speak to it. And he wants you, when you speak to it, he wants to listen to you and give you what you ask by removing that mountain. But if you have hate in your heart and unforgiveness in your heart, it's not going to happen. All right, where was I? 4. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. Here's the first step to answering the prayer of your mountain. You have to ask. You must ask. Pastor Bascom had a good message on prayer this morning. I may have to get his notes. And then it says this. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. To spend it on your passions. I think passion is a better word than self. Because some of the mountains in our life, it's probably self. And God wants to bless you too. God is going to give you things that are going to bless you. And in turn, you can bless others. So what are we going to do this morning? This morning, I really want to address unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. So right now, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to examine yourself. And here's the thing. I want you to think about the hurts that you are still carrying. Because if you're still carrying stuff, you really hasn't completely forgiven. You have to let it go. You have to let it go. If you don't let it go, it only grows. And sooner or later, your actions will be unrighteous towards that person because you haven't let it go. Let this be today when the scripture says, don't let your anger, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Most of us have that wrath because of unforgiveness. So I want you to think about it. Some of you, it may be your parents. Some of you may be your spouse. Some of you may be your best friend. Some of you may be your parents. Some of you, it may be your kids. And there's probably more, and you know what it is. So I want you to write now. And if you see it, ask the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, help me to forgive. And then I want you in your heart to forgive. Forgive them. Father, this morning, we come to you because we want to forgive our mom. Because she really didn't do what we was expecting her to do. And we feel like there is some abandonment. Father, we feel like we've been on our own. And Father, right now, we forgive her. Father, we forgive our dad because he just wasn't there. We forgive him because we don't understand why he gave us up so easily. We forgive him because he was so absent in our lives that it just left a hole and a whole lot of pain. Father, we forgive our parents for divorcing, for splitting up. Father, we forgive our brother and sister in Christ for the hurt they caused. Father, we forgive. Cleanse our heart. And Lord, right now there is some pain to forgive. So help us, Holy Spirit, to forgive. Father, it's our children. Our children, we did so much for them. And oh God, the pain they have caused me, that we are just carrying and carrying and carrying. Lord, today we forgive our children. Forgive our children, Lord. We forgive them for being so disrespectful. Father, today, we forgive our husbands. Lord, that wife today, Father, they forgive their husbands for whatever that husband has done to brought pain to that wife's heart. And today, Lord, the husbands, we forgive our wives. We forgive them for the pain that they have brought to our hearts. And Father, whatever else Holy Spirit can nudge in our hearts to take care of, Lord, we forgive. Father, let this morning, let this time, let this place be a significant place where we could put a pillar. We could bring a stone of remembrance and place it right here and say, this is the day that I'm walking free of all the weight of unforgiveness that I've carried so long that has been crippling me. And Father, we thank you for your forgiveness. And now, God, we forgive, we bring to you this mountain. This mountain that seems to be so irremovable that we cannot move, we cannot push, it's impossible. This mountain is so impossible, but this morning you tell us in the word, Lord, that you did a tree. We can do a mountain. So, Father, we come with faith in our hearts and we bring this mountain to you and we speak to it. Mountain, be root up and go put yourself in the sea. Never again to hinder my life in Jesus' name. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. All hearts clear? Yes, because everybody forgive. Father, we pray right now that as we go, we will go with the light of God in our hearts. That we would, Father, just be a light. We'll be able to witness. We'll be able to draw others to Christ. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Go and be blessed.